In the next half hour, we hear segments recorded during the 1976 World Eskimo Indian Olympics. I'm Mo Osley, and welcome to Potlatch. On the last 3 days of July this year, a competitive Native sports event was held at the Paddy Gymnasium on the University of Alaska campus. It was dedicated to Howard Rock's memory. Willie Hensley, a Native leader from Kotzebue, spoke in the opening ceremonies.
I'm very pleased to have the honor of talking to you about Howard Rock. He was a writer, he was a carver, he was a painter, and he was a journalist. And I think one will always remember those who have had an influence on their lives. And Howard Rock was a man who has had an influence on all of our lives. I remember Howard best because during the days when I was in school here, 10 years ago, trying to dream up ideas about how to help solve the native land claims, Howard Rock was always there to listen and to help strategize, and we'd sit down there at his favorite table down at Tommy's Elbow Room and discuss the events that he both helped shape and those he helped also to report on. What I'd like to do is just read a portion of this book that was written concerning the Alaska Native land claims that Howard wrote. He says that one thing that I believe that could be important, and I'm quite sure is vital, is your own background. And this one thing that no one can take away from you, the culture of your people. As your people in the past have sprung to meet life in Alaska with ways or tools to meet one of the most formidable environments this old earth has had to offer. This will to survive, what a great story that is and has been under the circumstances. It is something you just can't help but be proud of. Your folks in the old days have done some amazing things to meet deadly obstacles, dangers, life and death situations, and met them very well indeed. If troublesome obstacles come upon you, think of the achievements of your ancestors. They established cultures that were very well met the unkind situations. They won over them and left ample room for fun, for arts, and for big shares of lightheartedness. And with that, I would like to wish you all a good luck. And I wished I could participate like I used to, but I don't quite have the strength to jump and compete with boys like Reggie Jewell. Thank you very much.
That was Willie Hensley. The Olympics means different things to different people. And we asked Debbie Jessup of Kotzebue what it meant to her.
To me, the Eskimo Olympics, the Native Eskimo Indian Olympics are when the cultures of different Alaskans get together once a year to meet and show their way of life. I think the regional corporations throughout Alaska should make it a great thing to sponsor their people to join into the Native Olympics here in Fairbanks. There should be a group started that should find ways of making money, fundraising, that would help send people to the Olympics. I think I'd rather prefer the Eskimo Olympics here in Fairbanks than I would in Anchorage, because it seems to me Fairbanks has a lot of more natives here compared to Anchorage.
Bye. And
Buffy St. Marie. We asked one of the ladies from Barrow to tell us the background on the blanket toss, nalukatak, and the proper way to get tossed.
When they have a successful catch in the springtime hurling season, that's the only time they have these blanket tosses. They also have hurling in the fall time, but that doesn't they don't have nalukatak even when they catch one on fall time. But they had always competed one against each other. They've always competed not only on the blanket toss, but also in all kinds of sports. But on the special blanket toss, they determine who was the best stander on the blanket, and also determine who was the highest, who got highest on the blanket toss. That's how the older people are the judges all around, sitting all around the beside the nalukatak, and they are the judges that determine who was the best blanket tosser. But it started way back. Nobody even remembers just when it starts. The first thing you know, you learn is when you are competing is to learn how to stand up. And they always tell you to keep your legs wide apart from each other. You don't put them up together on the blanket. And if you want to really get on the ball and get going on the blanket, you don't look down because that makes you want to twist your body and do all sorts of things that you're not supposed to do. And the men that is holding on to the blanket are supposed to do it just the way, a certain way. That's why most accidents are starting to happen when some of the whites that don't know how to toss the blanket do it. They get into all kinds of accidents and stuff like that.
Sally Moses of Bethel revealed how she goes about keeping her balance in the air.
First, you have to know the maneuvers. If, like, the tossers are going to say one, two, three, usually three is the last jump. That's when you jump. How I learned how to blanket toss, my first year was 2 years ago, and they taught me, they said to have my knees locked sort of thing when I land, you know, just bent a little bit but locked so I don't fall over. And also when you're up in the air, you're supposed to keep your balance. You're supposed to keep your legs moving to keep yourself in balance.
and your eye contact should be horizontal, right in front of you. When you look down, people tend to get scared, or if you're looking down and you're looking down too much, you tend to flip over, sort of thing, because your body follows your head.
Sally was one of the contestants at the Queen Contest, and she has plans to write a book when she is through with school.
I want to go back to Nunavak Island, like, after 5 years out of college, and write a book about my people. I've been really thinking about it, and I'm majoring in anthropology, and I've really been thinking about it. The book I'm probably going to be writing about is about my own family and the history of our family.
Going back to the land I love. Going back where skies are big above me. Back to the land I left behind. Back to the pride that I must find. Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm going? Going back to where the truth began.
Westerman. Our next segment features the Queen Contest and the crowning of the 1976 Queen, which is one of the highlights of the Olympics. It happened on Friday night, and Helen Lee announced the finalists.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1976 Miss Congeniality. Miss Congeniality, chosen among the girls themselves, is Faith Peters, Miss Lucia Loya. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Photogenic of 1976 is Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, Sharina Jagger. Second runner-up of 1976, Miss Kobuk Valley, Selena Gooden. First runner-up for World Eskimo Indian Olympics. Her responsibilities are that if the Queen is unable to attend any festivities, she will become the new Queen and reign over the remaining year. First runner-up is Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, Sharina Jagger.
I was a key punch operator in an automotive firm. Well, I found that of all the girls, I was the youngest one, and all the pageants I was in, I was the youngest girl running. And I think most girls, all of us, you know, my local pageant, we're still in high school. Well, I'm going to college to study computer programming so I can move on. I work with a video machine now, it's an input into the computer, but I'd like to work right there with the computer itself.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment we have all been waiting for, and the moment the girls have worked very hard for, the new 1976 Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics. She is Miss Arctic Circle, B2S. She is employed by the Public Health Service as a dental assistant. She travels to all the villages during the winter months. B's parents are Harry and Esther Outwater of Kotzebue.
There was 11 of the girls that competed for the Miss Arctic Circle contest. We had the different businesses, different corporations, and I was running for the Manilik Association, which is a non-profit organization branched off from the Nana Regional Corporation. I'm a public health dental assistant, and I cover 14 villages in the Bering Straits region. I don't know how long I'll be working. When I first started going out to school, my plans were to become a dentist. I just might decide to do that. That's another 4 years of school.
That was B. Ballett. Our final segment features music by the five dance groups that appeared at the Olympics. First is the winner of the Eskimo Dance Contest and who came all the way from Wainwright to entertain the crowd.
Uwa, Tabna, Ipiktuna Alo Armir, Kaina, Ipiktujo, Pishawit Loro, Uwane, Arredoane, Kikartugo, Nara. Ako bin nga rogot, ilaw rogot, tam na, pichi akita ka, nakatika, ato katika siura ka. Nutka ko binya ito, umangali, piro ma, tasama, nutka ko matos binya ito. Uka ayok toko, ame siura ka lo, uwa, ikayok to akatanik, kuyanak to. Uwa ni, sabaw nilo ane. That's who we have. Cook came here with Pekendiv Olympic time, the first one, July 1976. All the people welcome here, nothing more dancing in here. That's all I talk here. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The Wainwright dance group was two dancers, Ayaya and Amikoshak. Our next group, Oliver and Olga Amoak, play the grandma dance. A grandson has it on his mind to visit grandma. Next, the Barrow Dance Group salutes Howard Rock and the bicentennial year. Barrow Dance Group. The winners of the Indian Dance Contest were the Minto Group, and here they are with their ever popular invitational dance. Those were the winners of the Indian Dance Contest for the 1976 Olympics. And finally, the Tanana Group entertained the crowd with a couple of their dances.
I'm Bo Watley, and thank you for listening to Potlatch.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.